And Jay, ready to talk time travel?
Absolutely, I am.
All right, let's bring in our guests. We've got Jason Quitt and Bob Mitchell. Gentlemen, welcome to Beyond Reality Radio. Thanks for being on the program.
Thanks for having us. Every day is beyond reality to me these days.
Now, who's that just speaking? Was that Bob or Jay?
That's Bob, yeah.
Okay. And Jason, you're out there
maybe
as well?
We'll get into that a little later.
I am out there as well.
Okay, good. It's good to have you both here. Let's start by just kind of laying some groundwork of who each of you are. Jason, why don't you go first? Tell us who you are, and then we'll have Bob do the same.
Okay, no problem. I would say that I am a lifetime experiencer, which means my whole life I've experienced various paranormal things, from ghosts to astral travel to time travel to meeting different entities and going to other worlds. So that's kind of been my life. And I just recently, with the help of Bob, started to tell my story and, you know, tell the world what I've experienced and what I've learned.
And this has been going on your entire life.
That's correct.
All right. And Bob, why don't you fill in everybody a little on your background, because it's pretty extensive.
And it varies quite a bit, too. I spent about 35 years working as a professional news reporter, specializing in crime writing and sports writing for the Toronto Star, which was Canada's largest newspaper. And in 2013, I took a buyout and decided to take things a little easier from the daily grind of working in the biggest paper in the country. And it was a few years, I guess it was 2015, Jason, that we met at the Alien Cosmic Expo show. By then, I had started hooking up with a group that MUFON out in the Brantford, Ontario area where I live, and I became a field investigator with MUFON and started writing books about the phenomena. I had written about five true crime books, including one called The Class Project, How to Kill a Mother, the true story of Canada's infamous bathtub girls, and that was turned into a movie called Perfect Sisters, starring Abigail Breslin, Mira Sorvino, and Georgia Henley. So the UFO turnabout came right out of left field. Never dreamed that I would be involved in writing stories about people who had experiences with otherworldly beings, and one thing led to another, and Jason and I hooked up at the Alien Cosmic Expo, and that's a story in itself, but probably get to that a little later. But in any event, for the last 4 years now, or 3 years, I've been really concentrating on writing books about entities, UFOs, phenomena, and now the time travel is taking over our lives, because I'm not sure all your listeners are aware yet, but we're bringing out a new book on September 1st that we think will really rock the world. And it's called Disclosed, The Chronicles of John Teeter II. And I'm sure a lot of people know about John Teeter. Our John Teeter isn't the one that came about in 2000. It's a completely different person who was working for a very highly top-secret part of the United States Air Force that was conducting time travel and is still conducting time travel. So that'll be another book to come out, but it's a great follow to Forbidden Knowledge, because in Forbidden Knowledge you get to hear the other side of time traveling, which is the astral time traveling, and the other side of abductions, basically the astral abductions, not the physical abductions. So it's an incredible story.
The book you mentioned, Forbidden Knowledge, what's the relationship between you and Jason as it pertains to that book?
We didn't know each other until we started writing. And now we've become very, very good friends. And I have to say that had I not met Jason, my life would probably be a lot different than it is today, because I've told a few people this, and I actually announced a lot of this today to some of the other UFO radio shows that we've been on, but I just was diagnosed with pancreatic cancer and liver cancer. And the world that Jason introduced me is a far different world than the medical profession and the people that he's in contact with and the alternate therapies and the shamanism and everything about healing yourself. I'm going that route, and I really am thankful that I met Jason, because without that, I would have no choice just to do chemo. And
yeah. Now, am I correct in understanding that the book is about Jason's experiences?
Yeah, it's his life story, basically, and we tried to tell it as honestly and as truthful as possible. Jason will tell you that he didn't want to write this book, or he felt compelled to write it at some point, but thought maybe that once he wrote it, that would be it. No one would ever, you know, bother him again or ask him about his life. And little did we know that this book would hit a nerve and become, at one point early when we first came out, it was the number one UFO book on the Amazon category. And it's just, you know, we're getting emails from all over the world. And in fact, we signed two translation deals, one to turn it into Chinese in Taiwan, and the other to turn it into German. So it's a book that tells people things that some of them thought about all their lives, and now here's a real life experience that tells that astral travel is real, that there's an entire world of healing out there that nobody, that the medical profession doesn't tell you about, and that there are probably far more alien entities living in the fourth dimension than there are in the physical dimension. I mean, we're not talking the greys and the reptilians or anything like that. We're talking hundreds of different species that Jason has encountered on different worlds. And he's seen the past and he's seen the future. And it's a real mind-boggling story. And I, as the main writer of it, I went along on this journey too.
Well, now, Bob, right before we went to break, you were telling us how you were just diagnosed with pancreatic and liver cancer and how your connection to Jason has really helped you through that. Can you tell us a little more on that?
Well, had I not known Jason, my really only recourse would to have gone to a cancer hospital and got chemotherapy. And most people will tell you that chemo isn't very nice, and it doesn't really do anything but try to kill the cancer cells in your liver and pancreas or wherever. But at the same time, your body is being filled with toxins that create other problems, and they really don't give you hope. The medical profession just says, okay, this is what you got, this is how long you got, and sign here, we'll get the treatment going. So had I not known Jason, I'd probably be undergoing chemo right now, because my first session was supposed to be last week. But having known Jason and been introduced to all the people that are in his book and others that believe in a lot in a Tesla technology for healing, I found there's an entire different world out there that the average public has no idea exists. And it's a shame, because there are so many other treatments out there. In fact, I've just been told recently that these alternate therapy treatments are quite acceptable in Europe. The only place they're not acceptable is here in North America.
Well, and that's mainly, let's be honest with you, that's mainly because it's, you know, it's a billion, multi-billion dollar industry, and, not to hold any punches, and it's a shame that it really comes down to what they're able to bring in instead of the well-being of an individual. But now,
so I'm just saying, without Jason, I would never have had this window of opportunity. I mean, I don't know if it's going to be cured or put me in remission, but I absolutely, absolutely believe that my life will be extended longer than it would have.
That's great. That's incredible. Now, on that, and I've got a bunch of questions for you, Jason, but one more for you, Bob, to start off. You being the author of this book on Jason, is that guaranteeing that, and I don't mean any disrespect, that you believe Jason's claims of his experiences and the things that have gone on in his life?
Absolutely. You know, the funny thing about Jason is that when I was at the Alien Cosmic Exo show in 2015, I was selling, my book at the time was Intrusion, Alien Encounters, and the organizer, Joanne Eady, she said to me constantly, you've got to meet this person, Jason. He's got a story to tell, and I think you two will really hit it off. And I said, sure. And I was looking forward to, at some point during the conference, to meet him. But lo and behold, very early in the conference, he came up to the booth that I was in, and I'm sitting down, and he's about 6'5". So, and very thin, and he really towered over me, and he smiled, and he pointed to the cover on my book, and he said, I've met them, and them was a mantis creature that was on the cover, and so I thought, great, and so I made it a point to go hear his conference, his speech, and very early in the speech, the first thing he said was, he came into this life with pre-birth memories, and he actually chose his parents before he was born. And that was a wow moment to me. I said, boy, there's got to be more to this story. And I said, I'd like to write a book about him. And, just for that one sentence, there was something that clicked. And then he started talking about past lives and reincarnation in ancient Egypt. And my wife has always had an affinity with ancient Egypt. Like we have lots of Egyptian stuff in our home and all that. And there seemed to be a connection between my wife and him, too. Today she laughs and says that she was his mother back in ancient Egypt. But so the story sort of evolved. And maybe, Jason, you can take over about why you were looking to do a book at this time. And I just came around at the right moment.
Sure. A couple months before, actually, it wasn't a couple months. It was in May 2015. I was speaking at another conference, and I was doing a talk on the hidden history of Tesla medical devices and the ancient power grid, which used to power the entire planet through the ancient obelisks and pyramids. And I started to get very deep into this topic, and I believe at this conference, I was saying things that I probably shouldn't have said. sometimes it's good to be the second person to say these things, but when you're the first person to come out and say new things, that could be a mistake.
Take a lot of scrutiny for it.
Yeah, you make yourself a target.
Yeah, that's correct. So actually, it's funny to say, to a live audience, but basically there was a hit put out on me.
Yikes.
I laugh about it. Yeah. I laugh
right
about
it.
Yeah. So basically I was astrally attacked, and there are such things as astral assassins. And almost immediately my health went from 100 to about 5%. And basically I was bedridden for about a month. I couldn't get up. I couldn't eat. I actually went blind. I couldn't see. And I had all these terrible lesions on my body. And basically, my skin was falling off. It was the most horrible thing I've ever had to go through. And I was very stubborn. I thought that I could heal myself and just deal with whatever was being done to me. But by the end of the month, it was getting pretty desperate. So I called native Canadian medicine man, and he took the hit off of me and took the energetic poisoning out of me, and basically the next day I felt 100% better, and I had a miraculous healing. It was almost like my entire skin fell off every inch of my body, and I was like a new man again. But during that time, that month that I was in bed, I know that's really weird stuff, but during that month I was in bed, I was basically thinking, nobody knows my real story. Nobody, you know, I don't really reveal much to people. And I thought that, you know, I almost died here and I would have died without sharing what I know. Getting sick and almost, you know, getting close to death there, it really motivates you.
Right.
So, you know, I went just a month later to the Alien Cosmic Expo, and in the back of my mind, I was thinking, I need to write a book. I need to write a book. And I finished my talk. And at the time, I really didn't know who Bob Mitchell was. But after I finished my talk, Bob walked up to me and said, hey, I'd like to write a book about you. And I just said, well, this is like perfect timing. I want to write a book as well.
Yeah, that's so awesome how it works out like that perfectly.
Yeah, it was just perfectly aligned.
And you got to remember, when I was writing this book, I had very little background in anything that Jason was telling me. So I was learning as I went around. And, you know, I'm not the main... Jason and I really were co-authors in this book, because he presented, you know, ideas and I interviewed him and we expanded things. And but it got to the point where I was being educated at the same time I was, writing it. And it opened a whole new world from everything from, as I mentioned earlier, to crystals, to the concept of healing yourself. And that's something that I think I never realized how many people in the world were doing that already, but they were. But it all came down to Jason's astral traveling, where he learned all this.
That's incredible. Now, Jason, when you talk about multidimensional time travel, so you're able to travel through time in these different dimensions. With that, is that something that you're able to control? You're able to say, you know, I'm going to jump forward this far, I'm going to jump back this far?
Not at all. I have zero control over it.
So it's kind of like that movie, The Time Traveler's Wife or whatever, where there was no control. He would just disappear and end up in a different time and so forth.
I'm not sure. I never saw that one, but...
I only saw it because my wife made me watch it three times with her, so that's okay.
Well, the truth is that I was never really into any of these fields, and I was basically thrown into it. So it was almost like I had no choice about what I was going to experience. And the first journeys that I was taken on, I was literally taken. So I was pulled out of my body. Where I would be in an outer body state. I can see myself laying in bed. And literally beings would pull me out, take me up into outer space. I can see the planet below me, and then they would direct me to different parts of the planet and drop me off there. So I would be in an astral form or a dimensional form. I was still completely conscious and aware of everything that was going on, my surroundings and everything. But when they would drop me off on the planet, I would soon realize that this wasn't the timeline that I came from. So this is where this whole concept of multidimensional time travel came from, because basically I would be dropped off dimensionally in different timelines of Earth history.
Okay. All right. Well, and it's not a far-fetched, because when you look at some of the top minds all time, you've got people like Albert Einstein that came out and claimed that time was just an illusion, that it could be sped up and slowed down. You've got Stephen Hawking who also believes that you would be able to travel through time interdimensionally as well. The only difference is that it would destroy the human body or whatever device we tried to send through. So there's different ways you'd need to look at doing it, using wormholes and things of that nature. But how are they able to take you and shift you through time And is there some sort of a certain time that this happens, or is there some sort of a certain time of the year or something happening in your life that they do this? Any correlation to any of it?
I don't see any correlation. It was completely random for me. And it seemed to me that for these specific time jumps, I had to be outside the planet. I had to be in space for this jump to work. And I had to be out of my body. So I was literally just sleeping in my bed. So my physical body is sleeping in bed, yet my consciousness or my astral state body is removed from that state of being, and I'm entered into this new world. And okay. This is where it really starts to, you know, change your view of reality, because, you know, until I would say my early 20s, you know, I thought the world was the way it was. You know, I didn't really, even though I was having experiences, I just kind of passed them off as, you know, nightmares or you know, just normal things. I thought everybody kind of did what I did. And I soon realized that maybe I was a little different.
Yeah.
Maybe what I was experiencing was much more extreme than most people. And when I started to have outer body experiences, and it was only through outer body experiences that I came face to face with these beings, or many different types of beings. And it was only out of my body that I can see these wormholes open up.
Okay, so they are using wormholes to move you back and forth. And like you said just a second ago, that you could only do the time travel when you were in space, which, again, falls under Albert Einstein's a lot of different theories that came from him, because space is considered a three-dimensional arena, where you have length, width, and height, and so forth, and time is considered more of a coordinates with direction and things of that nature. So most of the theories out there are that you'd have to be in some sort of a space environment to be able to move through time anyways.
Well, and the more that I'm, you know, looking into this, and the more I'm even working with the new book we're releasing, this thought keeps popping in my mind that time and space are connected to each other. And it's, you know, we talk about, let's go to different points in space, but it works exactly the same with time. So through space, we can access different points of time.
Jason, I wanted to ask you, you started to tell us about how these experiences occurred. When did they start happening to you? About how old were you? And, you know, what was the first one? Where were you taken and what did you see?
Well, I would say I became conscious of these outer body experiences in my early 20s. And what started to happen to me was I had a condition called sleep paralysis. And that's when my body would be frozen and my mind would be awake. And basically, you're just screaming in your mind to wake up or move your hand or body. And, you know, that those are quite frightening experiences. And when this started to occur constantly, almost every single night, I would have sleep paralysis. And I would actually start to feel things walking around my room with me. So that really didn't feel too good. And one night I just had too much of this, and I wanted it to stop. And I violently was screaming in my head to wake up, and I was shaking inside my body. And that's when I popped out of my body for my first time consciously in my early 20s. And as I came out of my body, I could see myself laying on the bed, and standing at the foot of my bed was a very tall being that looked like it was a giant shadow. Very tall, about 8 feet tall. The head was almost touching the ceiling. And it just looked like a tall, cloaked shadow. And, you know, I wasn't expecting any of this to happen. So I actually thought I just killed myself. And I just was so scared that I just popped back in my body and woke up. But after that initial experience, it was actually very easy for me to leave my body again when I would go to sleep. So that experience actually opened me up to this new world.
Okay. And just in that particular experience, I'm not hearing anything about the actual time travel part. When did that start?
Oh, okay. So right after when I started to leave my body, it was almost like it was like a call out to the universe, I guess. Very shortly after that first experience, I would be woken up in the middle of the night by some type of being literally just pulling me out of my body. And they would take me, the first place they took me, they dropped me off in an environment that looked like the earth was completely burnt or scorched. The soil was almost like red, brown. The trees were just cinders, and the sky was very, very red. I've never seen the sky like that before. And they just kind of dropped me off in this environment, and I'm just kind of experiencing what this environment is. And then I was pulled down into an underground bunker that looked like, you know, someone's backyard bunker, not really built so well. And there was a person inside of there that was, I would say, suffering greatly. So whatever had happened, this bunker did not protect this person. And once I experienced this, I was taken back up to outer space and back down and put into my body.
So you had no reference. You didn't, you know, you weren't told a date. You didn't see something that would have given you a date. You were just put into an environment and saw what you saw, but really didn't have any reference.
Correct. And there was no communication between me and the beings that took me.
Okay.
Do you guys, so why do you think that they'd be putting you in these, a couple of things. First off, why do you think they chose you to do this to? And secondly, why do you think they'd be putting you into these places for what good would come out of this?
Well, it totally changed my life. it completely put me on a different path in life. I don't really have an answer to why me. From what I gather is I've been contracted to do this through past life experiences. Like I say, I feel like it was not something that I chose to do. It was just something that happened in my life. And I actually think it's part of the human experience. I think there's many people out there that have similar experiences like me.
So you think, in other words, this is sort of a plane of life, whether you're being reborn, reincarnated, whatever, that this is, at one point, this is where everybody's going to be in the situation where they're being moved from parallel universe to parallel universe in different times?
I think so. I think human beings have a great ability to see beyond the physical world and become multidimensional beings. And I think that's part of the human experience.
And I agree, there is a whole aspect. The human race, we only use a quarter of our brain power right now. And God only knows what could happen if we could open up the other three quarters of it, what abilities we would be able to have. But it's just, all right, yeah, I'm just trying to focus on that. It's like where... So, in other words, everybody will eventually get that option of having these experiences, and according to your thoughts on this, and going.
I really don't think that it's. I don't really think that I'm that special when it comes to these abilities, and I've been told. From beings outside my body that there are thousands of people on the planet right now that are doing exactly the same thing as me.
Yeah, well, I mean, out of a planet with 7-point-something billion people, if there's thousands of you, that makes you pretty special to be able to have that ability or that experience, you know, to be able to experience so much more than the rest of the billions of people out there could.
Hey, Jason and Bob, do you mind taking a listener phone call?
No problem.
Okay, let's go to the phone lines. We've got Dwayne from Washington on the phone. Dwayne, welcome to Beyond Reality Radio.
Hey, what's up there, guys?
Thanks for calling in. What's on your mind?
I did have a question. First and foremost, Jason, love the show. AV, love your commentary. I love the calls. I love everything about the show. I'm just telling you, I'm totally hooked. I'm listening on 99.9 in Seattle.
Oh, well, thank you very much. Greatly appreciate it.
All right. Awesome. I'm hooked. you can't get the podcast to me quick enough. Anyway, that aside, for the guest, He may have already answered my question, but the time travel and dreams, is there a correlation there that maybe, I don't know, because I've had a few dreams that kind of became reality, and it's so a little silly. I don't know if there's a correlation there, or maybe I can be enlightened to that. I'd love an answer to that.
Great question, Dwayne. Jason, what do you think?
Because
in a lot of respects, some of the experiences you're describing sound very dreamlike. Is there a correlation between dreams and what you've experienced?
Yes. And I'm happy you brought that up, because, you know, in our culture, we just think our brain is working through things during the day, and that's what dreaming is. But I believe dreaming is the first level of the spirit world.
Okay, well, it is so part of you. It's your subconscious mind, too, correct?
That's right. But through the subconscious mind and through the dream world, we can access other dimensions. And I don't know if, well, of course, you're familiar with lucid dreaming.
Yes.
Well, this is something that many people could master. And what I found amazing with lucid dreaming, and this was part of my training, was when I start to lucid dream, let's say I'm in a room with different people and I realize that I'm dreaming, I could turn to the person next to me and I could ask my subconscious a question, and suddenly I'd be kicked out of the dream and receive an answer. So it's almost like you have this platform where you can access information that you normally couldn't access in a waking state.
I totally get that and feel that.
Thanks for the call, Dwayne. Greatly appreciate
Dwayne,
listening.
That was a great question. Thanks so much for...
Hey, thank you. Love the show, you guys.
All right, thanks.
Thank you very much. So Jay, how are you able to tell the difference between it being a dream or the fact that you have been moved to a parallel universe and are seeing something else at a different time? On that same note, before you answer that, also, have you ever gone into the future in this world that we're in now and are able to give us any information of anything coming up? So those
sure.
two questions.
Okay, so my body is in bed sleeping. Okay, so this is the first thing with astral travel. So it would be like you're in a dreamlike state, but it's almost like your body goes to sleep, but your mind stays awake. And once you know the body is asleep, then you kind of push yourself out of your body, which is a very, very scary and strange feeling. So it takes a lot of practice to just get used to the feeling of doing it.
Okay.
So there is like a conscious effort involved in trying to make this happen.
Jason, again, I'm going to get to Bob and ask a couple questions of Bob in just a second. But when I hear you tell the story, you know, assuming that your experiences are exactly as you've described them, I'm having trouble understanding how you knew it was time travel versus just being in another dimension at the same, you know, at our same current time. Do you have something that convinced you that it was actually time travel?
Yes. For some reason, all of these journeys were completely awful. They were all horrific, and they were all very much end time scenario.
Is that because of what you saw was horrific, or the actual process for yourself, you know, was horrific on your body or your soul?
What I saw.
Okay.
Or what I experienced. And I couldn't understand why they were showing me the worst things imaginable that human beings can do to one another. You know, so basically, I think the worst thing I saw was a prison camp for children. They kind of just dropped me off there for a little while. So that really changed me, because when I came back from that experience, I was literally shell-shocked. I was white as a ghost, and you know, I couldn't even talk for about a week after that. I really had to get my life back together. And the reason I believe it's time travel was because when I see the people from these experiences, it looks like modern times to me. It looks like something that could be right now. You know, so if I saw a soldier in a tank with a machine gun, it looks like, you know, the latest technology.
Okay.
So for me, that it was just kind of like, you know, what am I seeing? Because I know that this hasn't happened.
Okay. So then a question then, have you traveled in the future in this world that we're in now that you're able to give us any information of something that might be coming up that we all should look out for or anything like that? Something that would, that we could sit here and say, all right, well, Jason Quitt said this, this is going to happen at this point. And sure enough, if it happens, boom, everybody's a believer.
Yeah, no, I was, like I said, I was never given any specific dates or anything, and I was never communicated to. It was just kind of being dropped off in an environment for me to experience whatever scene was happening at that time.
Okay.
And the reason I know it was time travel is because eventually, as these experiences went on, I started to communicate with different beings about this. And basically what they were saying is that there are many timelines, and we as a collective of the human race can choose which path we walk down. And I thought, like, wow, you know, I saw all these different experiences. Are these all different timelines that we can potentially go down into our future? As in, nothing is set in stone, and what they're showing me is, it's almost like a warning system. You know, it's like, see what your potential future can be.
Yeah.
Come back and warn the people.
Right, you but you weren't given any information to really make it a concrete warning or a concrete...
Or at a point of when it's going to happen, yeah. What year it's going to happen, what's going to happen exactly. It's, you know, we're talking a red sky, but is it a red sky due to a nuclear holocaust? Is it a red sky due to us... having
some
super volcano
issue,
going
yeah.
off, anything yeah. of that nature. So, and that's the well, thing. It's like, how do we avoid this future that they're supposedly showing you if we have no idea how that future came in the first place or when it came?
And that's why my life is very confusing.
Yeah. Well, I want to bring Bob into the conversation. Bob, obviously...
Hopefully Bob hasn't fallen asleep. You still with us, Bob?
No, I'm used to having Jay take over the show. So.
Okay.
Bob, when you met Jason, you started having these conversations and you were starting to compile the information to write the book. What impressed you the most? And, you know, I'm sure there's a long list of things that impressed you. But, like, what are the top couple of things that really just stood out in your mind as being, you know, not only real evidence of what Jason has gone through, but something that just was really startling and striking to you?
Well, he came across as a very, very honest person. As he said, I had to really draw out some of the things that are in the book. He didn't want to talk about the energetic poisoning that he encountered, and he was really fearful about some of the things. But I convinced him that, you know, if you're going to tell your story, you got to tell your story. And he didn't hold back anything. As I said, it was a whole new world that I had no idea existed. But I did know a little bit about astral travel, because in my other books there were several people that had the same kind of experience of astral traveling. And if you had heard Jason, if I'd heard Jason tell me, and he was the only one that ever told me that he was taken out up to outer space and then dropped down on the planet, that might seem a little far-fetched, but I had at least three or four people in my other books who had experienced the exact same thing, that during their astral travels, the exact same thing happened. They were taken into outer space and then dropped somewhere. So he was validating people that he didn't even know. But the other thing, the other striking thing that soon became aware of, and this was after we wrote the book, was that we were at several shows, and so many people came up to the booth and, you know, hugged Jason. They just thanked him profusely for writing a book like this, because they had similar experiences. They didn't know who to tell anybody, and Jason validated their lives too.
He also has a tremendous private crystal collection, and crystal is a very healing stone, and so many people were coming up telling stories that since they bought his crystals, their hearing has come back. They feel stronger. They feel more enlightened, and their energy is up. So it was just, I never thought one minute that Jason was trying to pull my leg. It was a complete honesty, very much like the people who talked to me about their experiences with aliens, the emotion that came out, the unburdening of secrets they had kept their entire lives. I just became convinced that this is a story that needed to be told. And as I said, the book has been a tremendous success, and has hit a nerve, and has changed people's lives all over the world.
Was there anything in the process of, again, compiling your information? I'm sure you and Jason talked for hours and hours to gather the information and the encounters and the stories. Was there anything that came out during those discussions where you were just so skeptical or just couldn't believe it? It just seemed too much for even you to believe, or did you find yourself being able to really accept everything and it all ended up in the book?
I don't think we took a few things out of the book, but it wasn't because of that. It was just that the book was getting too long. As I was being educated, things started to make sense to me, and in fact it also changed my view of what most of abductions are. I used to think that every single abduction was a physical abduction, and now I think that a lot of abductions that are taking place are actually taking place in the astral world, that they are taking your consciousness out of your body, not your physical body, because so many people claim that they haven't left their bed, their spouses haven't seen them leave their bed, their kids come in and they're still there.
You had mentioned, and a reason I bring this up now is we're going to start running short on time, but you had mentioned another book that's about to come out called Disclosed, The Chronicles of John Titor. Is that the name of it? I think I got it right.
Yeah, John Titor the Second.
John Titor the Second. Now, I am a little confused just because you had said also that it wasn't related to the John Titor that we had been talking or hearing about from like around 2001, 2000, that time frame. Explain who these two people are and what the differences are.
Well, I really don't know who the first John Titor was, although there's a lot of people suspect it was a hoax committed by a couple of brothers down in Tampa, Florida. And I think one of the things that is a telltale sign that it was a hoax is that he had his time machine in the back of a Chevy Corvette, I believe, which is very similar to Back to the Future DeLorean. And so, I mean, that didn't make any sense to begin with. And the fact that he said he came from the future and made a stopover in 2000 to visit personal people after he got a computer from 1975. And physical time travel, you can't just make a stopover. It just doesn't work that way. So that John Titor, Jason and I were kind of aware of. And when we were talking about forbidden knowledge all the time, one of the questions that always kept coming up was, do you know John Titor? Do you know John Titor? And initially we didn't, but Jason went and tried to find out who this guy was, and actually found a John Titor the Second on Facebook, I think it was, and called him up. And that led to several conversations between the three of us, and we quickly discovered, at least from John Titor's point of view, was that he was a U.S. Air Force. We ended up being as high as a colonel at one point, and he was in charge of the time travel division of the United States Air Force. And it may be hard to believe for people, but
according to John, the time travel ability of the United States has been in place since the early 1970s. And so in this book that we're coming out with, you know, people always talk about Hillary going to be the first disclosure president. Well, I can tell you that whatever Hillary would say, it will be pale in comparison to what we're revealing in this book. It's a very scary book. It's a very enlightening book. And we're providing secrets that I'm sure many people in the government don't want out. And it's going to rock the world of society because we're basically revealing the connection between the Greys, the Reptilians, and the Tall Whites on Earth, who's controlling the government, what fantastic things that have been kept hidden from the general public for all these years and why they've been kept hidden. John lives in a highly secure compound in the southern United States under 24-hour security. He doesn't go anywhere without armed security guards. There's a faction of the United States military that wants this story out, and there's another faction that doesn't. So that leads me to another thought, and Jason mentioned it about being psychically attacked, psychically assassin, when he had his illness.
Yep.
I've been wondering since I got attacked by this cancer, because this came out of nowhere. I mean, in June, I was completely fine. Nothing like this was going on. Mm. And suddenly after the Alien Cosmic Expo, things started happening to me. And my first thought was, when I found out about this, I thought, you know, I wonder if there's been a psychic hit put on me because of what we revealed in Forbidden Knowledge. But then I started thinking that, you know, we have no idea what the powers of the military are today. And perhaps something was done to me to stop preventing this book from coming out, because there's certainly a lot of things in this book that, you know, is going to shock a lot of people.
Wow. Well, you certainly...
So I don't know.
Yeah. You certainly...
It's so weird that it's happened to me so fast.
Certainly hope that we wouldn't have a government that would do such things. But then again, you know, we hear crazy things all the time. Let's go to the phone lines. Oh. Bring.
We're even going to tell you who shot Kennedy.
Oh, that's all in the same book.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we're going to revisit that in just a second. I want to bring Terry in, who's been waiting patiently. Terry, welcome to Beyond Reality Radio.
Hello. Sorry, I didn't know if it was another Terry or me.
It's you. Do you have a question for the guests?
Yes, I do.
Okay.
One of my friends died when I was in college, a very dear friend, and y'all are talking about, you know, what am I trying to say?
Time travel?
Out-of-body things or whatever.
Yeah, Jason was saying that his experiences were out of body, astral travel. Yeah. So, yeah.
Yeah. So when, sorry, I'm a little nervous on radio
because
when I played this is my second time on air. When I listened back to me, I said, oh my God, sounded stupid.
Never listen back to yourself. Rule number one. Okay. So what's your question? Go ahead.
After my friend died, a week later, I had a dream about him. And I was in his house, sitting on the couch, and his mom and dad asked me if I wanted a drink. You know, just a drink. And I said, sure. And so they went into the kitchen, and when they went into the kitchen, my friend appeared on the sofa, my dead friend. And like he always did, he made me laugh. And so I was starting to laugh hysterically, you know, like, he's back, you know. And then the parents came back into the room, and they're like, why are you laughing so hard? And I'm like, well, can't you see this guy sitting right here on the sofa? It's your son, you know? And they couldn't see him, but I could. And then a week after he crashed, they killed him. A week after, I dreamed. I had a dream. And it was the only dream I ever had. And I dreamed that he said, I'm okay.
Right.
He grabbed my hand and said, I'm okay. You're going to be fine.
I'm not sure that's necessarily out of body, but is there anything that sounds like it might be to you guys?
You remember before I said that the dream world is a connection to the spirit world?
That's right, yep.
So that the dream world could be a place where we could actually connect to loved ones that have passed over. So I've actually experienced this multiple times in my life where, let's say, someone in my family dies, and within that first couple of weeks, they'll visit me in a dream to speak to me, to give a message or just to say something or give me a hug. But remember, this could also be used for contact. So many people believe that, aliens have to come in a third dimensional form from some other planet, shake your hand and introduce themselves, when they can actually set up an entire scenario in your dream and communicate directly to your consciousness. So you can have conversations with not only loved ones that have passed, but you could also have conversations through time and space with different beings.
So, yeah, so Terry's experience could very well have been something along those lines. So that may provide her a lot of comfort. Terry, hope you're listening and you heard that that answer. We're basically out of time. I wanted to make sure you had an opportunity to tell folks where they can get a hold of the books. Jason, I know that you said in the past, anyway, you've had some speaking engagements. You guys, if you make any appearances, let us know how we can learn more about those. And any other information you want people to have?
Well, my website is bobmitchellauthor.simplesite.com, and my email is bobmitchellwriter@gmail.com. And all my books, and including Forbidden Knowledge, are available on Amazon.com, Amazon.ca, and basically Amazon throughout the world. And you can probably order them through other bookstores, such as Barnes & Noble. And Jason has his own website, so take it away.
Yeah, my website is thecrystalsun.com. That's thecrystalsun, S-U-N.com. And I'm actually going to be in the Calgary area September 15th, I believe, to do a workshop on different healing techniques. And I will put that on the website shortly.
Jason, before we let you go, where does the healing come into this? Is the healing focus a result of your experiences or something completely independent of that?
No. When these beings started to communicate with me in outer body states, they continually told me that I had to heal myself. That was like the biggest thing that I had to do. And through my experiences and travels, they actually took me back into past lives, where I learned different healing techniques, and that information was brought back to me in this life.
Okay. All right. Great. Good. Hey, thanks, guys, for joining us and spending the full 2 hours with us. We really appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you, guys.
No problem. And yeah, thank you. Let's get together again when the new book comes out.
That sounds perfect.
Absolutely.
Sounds great. All right. So
have
Jason,
a good night.
Yeah, Jason Quitt, Bob Mitchell, a great conversation. There are still probably 150, 200 questions that we have on our list, Jay.
Well, yeah, you'd ask a question, you'd end up, and they'd answer it, you'd end up with like two or three more questions.
Yep. It's hard. It's hard to do it in 2 hours. But and we have had a caller on the phone. Hopefully he still wants to talk to us. I know he had a question for the guest, but we'll bring him on. Jay from Florida, welcome to Beyond Reality Radio. Sorry to keep you on hold for so long.
Hey, good morning, guys. That's okay. Yeah, I was hoping to talk to them. Hopefully they will get back to me. I didn't get through them when they were on coast either. So
oh, that's too bad. Sorry.
getting to talk to them.
Sorry.
Anyways, I don't know. Do you want me to run by you any of the things I was going to say or ask them or go a different route?
Sure. You're welcome to.
Yeah, if you think it's something we might be able to provide some insight on, sure.
Well, I was Okay, I'll go through it all really quick because I know we're running out of time. I was going to ask him if he had experimented or dabbled with the occult, Ouija, or anything else that maybe prior that brought on the sleep paralysis, if he had noticed any paranormal activity or supernatural gifts or abilities beforehand. I've wondered in dreams, what does it represent when we're flying and falling? Mm. I've recently thought that the falling is reminding us that we're falling into sin. It's the Most High's wake-up call that we're falling into sin. Because I don't know if people realize this, but the Illuminati language and all music, fall and falling, is Lucifer's fall from sin and us falling into sin. And love is Lucifer. That's good for people to know.
Hey, Jay, one thing, though. You come at it from a very spiritual direction, correct?
I very much so, yes.
Okay. Well,
it's
and
been
you're
a big year for me. I've had a lot of awakenings, revelations, epiphanies, discoveries that have just rocked my world. And yeah. I realized just how evil this world was since the beginning of this year.
Absolutely. I agree with you totally. There's so much negativity in this world, and it's hard to go by daily. Just have to deal with it all. So.
Well, what really freaked me out is I had this very realistic, and I was definitely going to go into this with him, end time, New World Order, Illuminati dream. And I thought it was way off in the future. Now, what's interesting about this is almost all my dreams, and I'm originally from Missouri. I've been in Florida since 2008. Almost all of my dreams are based in the past or are Missouri-based and have, like, my family or people from the past in it who I don't see much. So now I've started to wonder, especially with this New World Order Illuminati end time dream, which it was all before how your guests his was everything afterward, like scorched earth. Mine was like right when it all started, basically. Okay. Right when New World Order started, and it was probably metaphorical, but the gates came down and they were on horses, and it was very Hitler-like. I think the horses were representing the horsemen of the apocalypse. But I've started wondering now if the reason I have these dreams and they're not pertaining to like my present situation, timeline, and life, if it is parallel universes or alternate realities, and what is or could have been, maybe had I stayed or not.
Yeah,
I was
going to
ask him if his take on heaven or hell, or the lake of fire and the higher or lower dimensions, and if he had his take on our matrix in this world, and like your guest previous you had a week or two ago, one of my favorite ones, and I know you said he was all over the place, but... And I didn't even get to hear the whole show, but he said like there was the Matrix on the moon or somewhere like that, I believe, and that they were trapping these souls and by artificial intelligence entities.
Right. Oh, that was I can't remember the guest's name, but I do know who you're talking about. He was the one that. Steve. It wasn't a Steve. I'm sorry. I'm really drawing a blank. We've had so many in the last, but I know exactly who you're talking about, and I remember that conversation well. And we did feel like it was all over the place, but it was still a really good discussion.
But Jay, thanks for the call. We got to wrap up for the night, but always good to hear from you. You got some great questions.
Thanks for listening. It's Beyond Reality Paranormal. We'll see you next time.
The night may be long and the dark may be deep, but the answers are there to be found. Whether it's the normal, the abnormal, or the paranormal, you're in the right place. Let's go beyond reality.
We've got a great show tonight. We're going to be talking about time travel. Is it possible? There's individuals out there who claim that they can travel through time, that they can go forward in time, go to the past, and... hopefully spend some time in the present, right, Jim?
Well, they're not going to be able to talk to us if they can't.
Well, he might be waiting for us in the future, though.
Well, if it's 5 minutes in the future, we can accommodate it. But if it's weeks, we're going to have a problem because they're supposed to be on the show tonight. So I don't know how that's going to work.
Hopefully they end up back where they're supposed to be.
Yeah, we've got Jason Quitt and Bob Mitchell coming on. Now, Jason is an interdimensional time traveler. We're going to hear about his experiences. And Bob is an author who wrote about it. Hey, let's take a quick trip to the phone here. We've got Mike from Arizona. Welcome to Beyond Reality Radio, Mike. Good to have you on the program.
Hey, thank you. It's been a little while since you guys got syndicated. It's been pretty hard for me to actually stay awake long enough with college starting.
Yeah, it's a little challenging anyway, with the new time, but we're getting used to it.
Did you say with college starting, Mike?
I go to Australia Mountain Community College. And,
but I mean, being a college student, shouldn't these be the Avondale. Hours that you're up?
Right. Well, I have been partying a little bit tonight. I've been having fun.
Good. Good for you. So what's up?
Anyway,
what's on your mind?
Appreciate it. You guys are talking about time travel?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. I wanted to ask your guys' opinion. I can't remember the person who originally made this movie, but I'm pretty sure you guys are aware with this 1920s movie. The woman's walking by with something pressed to her ear. Seems like she's talking on a cell phone. I'm sorry, I have a fighter jet going right over me, so it might be a little loud.
You're referring to the picture that's been circulating online over the years of that lady.
No, there was an actual movie. I want to say Barnum and Bailey, but no, it's not that. But there was an old movie, 1920s or 30s, where this woman was walking by and she had this thing pressed to her face, but it was so obscure the way she was angled. Maybe she was schizophrenic because she was talking to herself and had her hand to her ear, but.
Yeah, well, yeah, maybe. I don't know. I don't know, Jimmy, 1920s, that's your time. So do you remember a movie from back then?
That's cruel. Obviously, it's a silent picture if it's in the 20s. I don't know which film it is, but I'd like to do a little research and find out because that's very interesting.
Oh, you will definitely find it. That was one of the first things I saw. One of the last things I saw for the proof of time travel was, I guess, sometime a couple years ago, they dug up somebody. I can't remember where. Please forgive me for the location.
Let's ask Jason if he can travel back there.
Somebody who had a pair of shoes that appeared to look like Nikes almost. or 400 years later, or 1,000 years, it was a long time.
Interesting.
It's like back to the
Nike
future.
Existed,
yeah.
So.
Yeah. Well, we'll definitely have to look into that, Mike.
But thanks for the call. Thanks for the information.
I wanted to congratulate you guys on being nationally syndicated, and I'm glad I was able to actually get on and tell you guys that.
Well, thanks so much, Mike.
Oh, great.
Good to
thanks,
have you
Mike.
On the program. Look forward to talking again. Let's take one more call before we have to go to break here. This is Ryan in Nebraska. Ryan, welcome to Beyond Reality Radio. Good to have you on.
Hey, thanks for having me. Hey, I'm a first-time listener here, by the way.
Well, thank you, and welcome.
Welcome to the show. Hopefully you enjoy it. And if you don't, don't tell anybody.
Hey, I just had a quick question for you guys. Since we're talking about time travel, I just wondered if you could time travel to one period in all of history, what time period would you go to and why?
Wow.
Oh, geez.
One. We can only do one, you're saying.
Yep, your top time period.
Oh, that's a tough one.
That's really difficult.
Honestly, I think it would be more something for me. It would be more to go back in my own life and experience something all over again, whether it be the birth of my twins or it's tough because things like that are just some of the most amazing things that have ever happened in your life when your children are being born or when you first meet the love of your life. My wife,
meat.
I met her
you're
at seven.
I thought you were talking about me.
Well, yeah, yeah, well, you're the love of my, well, yeah, but we can't, it's supposed to be off air, Jimmy. Honestly, it's like I would love to be able to go back to when I met my wife in seventh grade and see it all over again. So things like that, because I don't need to travel back to the dinosaurs. I don't need to travel back and see who took out John F. Kennedy. I would just love to experience some of the things I've experienced already again. What about you, Jim?
Well, I agree with everything you just said, Jason, but if I had to pick, like, just putting that aside, putting, personal and family connections aside, if I had to pick, one, like, historic event to go back and be able to witness firsthand, I would probably pick, around the year AD 30 to 33 when supposedly Jesus was walking and became crucified. I mean, people are curious as to whether that happened, all those things. It's a major historical point in Western civilization. And I think if I had to pick one, and it'd be hard to, but if I had to pick one, that would probably be the one I'd want to see if it happened and if it happened the way the Bible tells us it happened and, that kind of thing. Kind of see
but if we had to go a historical event, then yeah, put me back to like the beginning of man. Let me see where we really came from.
So you're thinking you, Adam, and Eve hanging out in Eden? Is that what you're talking about?
Oh, that could get really spicy.
Does that answer your question, Ryan?
Yeah, it does. Thanks a lot, guys.
All right, man. Hey, thanks for calling. Hey,
thanks a lot, man.
And thanks for the great question. That was a lot of fun. All right, let's take a break. When we come back, we'll bring in our guest for the evening, talk about time travel. It's Beyond Reality Radio with Jason and JV. Hey, gang, it's JV here. We hope you're enjoying this episode of Beyond Reality Radio. Some of you are new to the program, and some of you have been with us for years. And no matter if you're interested in ghosts, the UFO phenomenon, conspiracy discussions, or any of the other topics we explore on this program, we do it for you. Our goal here is to help find answers to some of the world's most enduring mysteries. And as we continue to bring you interviews and discussions each night, it's important that we get your feedback and, even more importantly, your support. The media landscape is forever changing, and as it does, we need to be able to change with it. That's why it's important for you, right now, to go to our YouTube channel and subscribe. Once on YouTube, just search for JV Johnson. You'll find it there. Subscribe. It's all free, and it'll make you part of our global community. In addition, Beyond Reality Radio is available as a podcast. Go to your favorite podcast platform and search for Beyond Reality Radio and subscribe there as well. And finally, we have an archive program that you may enjoy as well. This show can be found on major podcast platforms, and it's called Beyond Reality Paranormal. By supporting us in one or all of those places, you can be sure we'll be able to continue to deliver quality shows to you no matter what form the media landscape takes. As a paranormal historian, I promise you the best and most entertaining conversations as we continue to hunt for the truth.